Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Welcome to Lighthouse Community this morning. We are so glad that every single person is here this morning. And we're grateful for those who are dialing in on live stream, those who can't be away. We're thankful for the family getting all together at Christmas time. If I've not had a chance to meet you, my name is Larry Sewell, and maybe we can meet you soon. Christmas is a season in our culture that's been ramping up since before Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I still have summer projects in my yard that I'm trying to finish, and I think I'm a little bit late on some of those. It's a time when many of us try to slow down at a time when the world is just speeding ahead. Especially if you have kids or you have grandkids in the house, Christmas is a time where things get just crazy busy. I was thinking about past Christmases that I've experienced during my life, and my mind went back to a time, I think I was about 8 years old, and it was a time where I'm pretty sure my dad was between jobs, and there weren't very many Christmas presents in our house. And I remember a knock at the front door. And Ruth and Evelyn Balls and their dad, Bert, they were at our front door. And I remember they had these brown paper bags, like from the grocery store, filled with presents. And they came into our house, and they had brought Christmas to our house. I remember a big meal. I remember lots of laughing and all kinds of noise going on. They were very boisterous people. They were immigrants from Germany. And my mom was good friends with Ruth. And she knew that we weren't having much Christmas at our house. And they brought Christmas to us. I didn't know at the time, we were not believers, okay, but they were believers. And I didn't know at the time that they were actually sharing the love of Christ with us in the only way they knew how, just to be friends with us. Maybe your memories of past Christmases are joyous. And that's true for a lot of people, but you know, sometimes Christmas reminds us of things that we've lost also. It's maybe 50-50 down the middle, right? Now, I think it's okay to acknowledge that Christmas means lots of different things to lots of different people as we embrace the holidays. Now, our home is a home where we like Christmas a lot. We're kind of like the Who's down in Whoville, have you heard of them? Yeah, we like Christmas a lot. Now, we like the Grinch in our house, okay? And we have lots of evidence of that in our house, but our youngest granddaughter, she's afraid of the Grinch. And so we take it easy on her because everybody else is into the Grinch, but not so much her. The Who's down in Whoville, they loved Christmas a lot, right? But the Grinch, he did not. And this is something, a quote from the book from Dr. Seuss about the Grinch. After he's up on Mount Crumpet, he's tried to steal Christmas, right? And his heart had grown 3 sizes that day. And this is the story, right? The Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages or boxes or bags. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. I think there is a natural longing in our hearts for something more. I think there's a natural longing in our hearts for a connection with God. Last week, Pastor Fritsch shared a reflection on the nearness of God. God came near at Christmas time. He's not mad, he's not far away, but he's near. And today we want to talk about a few other reflections on God this Christmas. First of all, Christmas teaches us that God has the power to accomplish anything that he wills. And Christmas teaches us that God is faithful to his promises. God can be trusted. What he says, he does. We can trust God. God has communicated his power and his faithfulness to us in just unmistakable ways. And we want to talk about some of those this morning. I'd like to talk about three things. I'd like to talk about the Christmas star. I'd like to talk about one prophecy that talks about the Son of God, the star of the Son. And then I want to spend a few minutes talking about the sovereignty of God, where Christmas fits into the plan of God. Will you pray with me as we begin? God, we are thankful for Christmas, that the Christmas star points us to you. We are thankful that Jesus the Son came to show us who you are and to bring salvation. And we're thankful for your sovereign plan, that you thought of us before creation. And so we come to you with recognition that you are sovereign God. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, who is God, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds, and help us to see Jesus this Christmas. And we pray all this through Jesus, who made prayer possible. Amen. Let's begin with the Christmas star. Now, most Christmases, I take the time to read the accounts in the New Testament about the coming of Jesus. I do that as just a matter of habit, probably. I remember the first time I realized that Jesus was the creator, the one through whom the worlds were created. I knew that God was the creator. Later, I read in Genesis that the Holy Spirit was there, but that Jesus himself, the Son, is the creator. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved, the triune God. Jesus the Son is the one who came into this world. He entered his own creation in this tiny little package of a baby. We have so many babies in our church this year. I think there are about 35. And it reminds me of that baby on the first Christmas. It's very personal. In fact, it doesn't get any more personal than having a baby. We have a couple children and we know. God came to us. This year I began to think a little bit more about that Christmas star, the star that led the wise men to Jesus. These wise men were stargazers, and they knew that there was something up as they looked at the stars. Something unusual was happening there. The creator of the universe was speaking to them in language that they understood. They knew the heavens. The one with the power to create the world was showing his faithfulness by leading the wise men to Jesus. I Googled the universe this week. And I learned this. There are an estimated 100 to 400 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way. And our galaxy, they think, is one of maybe 2 to 3 trillion galaxies in the known universe. That's what they know from the Hubble telescope. I started wondering about those numbers and how they figured that out. And I picture this old guy with curly hair. He's in a cold room. He's got a telescope, he's counting stars, you know, losing count and starting again. I don't know how many 400 billion times 2 or 3 trillion is. And I don't know what's on the outer reaches beyond what the Hubble telescope can see. It's big, it's vast, it's enormous, right? But this I know, God himself is infinite. God is without limitation, and he created the stars out of nothing. He placed them in a world that was dark. And we know this, from all of the choices that God had, trillions and trillions and trillions of stars, right? He chose one particular star and placed that over Bethlehem that led the wise men to Jesus. He's faithful to his creation. Christmas is the time we celebrate the moment when God himself, infinite creator, entered his creation as a helpless baby. Born to Mary and Joseph, there was no room in the inn for his kind of family. This special star causes me to think about the power of Almighty God. And it makes me lean into Psalm 19. Maybe you've read that. This is what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. The Apostle Paul reminded the Roman Christians that God made his invisible qualities known through creation. We know about his power. We know about his divinity. All you have to do is look up into the sky and you can see the divinity of God. You have to get away from the man-made lights to see clearly. A couple summers ago, Debbie and I were at a family reunion in rural Pennsylvania. And we were having a, you know, family reunion, extended family. And it was a dark, dark place. It was rural. There were no electric lights. And when we went outside after dark, I have never seen that many stars. There was no competition for lights, and it was just this canopy of just extraordinary lights, a display. There were large stars and small stars. You could see a little difference in color in some of the stars. There was this kind of this fog behind, which is the Milky Way, just a canopy of light behind the stars that we could see. I think doubts are normal as we work through faith. But something I really can't understand is how a person can stand and view the stars and conclude that it's a cosmic accident and that God doesn't exist. I can't understand that at all, because God has shown us his power. God has shown us his divinity by what he has made. What's he trying to say to us through his creation? Lots of things probably, but at least one thing, and that is this: God is there. God is there. I want you to try to wrap your mind around something that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in chapter 1. This is what it says. Even before he made the world, God loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Wow. The story of salvation and restoration with God through Jesus existed before creation. This is God's plan. God is not only infinite and just amazingly large, God is also personal, and he knows who we are. Christians know this. God had you in mind when he created the stars. God knew all about Jesus coming to pay for sin and to restore our relationship through salvation for those who believe. God had you in mind when he put one star in the sky that led the wise men to Jesus. He knows us. He knows us by name. We've been talking about the star. God spoke first through creation. It shows his power. It shows his deity. He doesn't need words, right? He doesn't need language to do that. Creation points us to God, our creator. But God didn't stop there. He also communicates to us in words. God spoke to us through the prophets, because God is faithful. And he's communicated to us clearly in words. Today we want to look at one prophecy from the Old Testament that points to the Son We've talked about the star. Now we're going to talk about the sun. But before we go to Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, I want to talk about the context just a little bit leading up to the verse we're going to read in just a moment. If we reach back to last week, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says this: "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." This is a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7 that's quoted in Matthew chapter 1. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. Jesus brought God near. God is not far. God is close by. That's what Fritz talked about last week. If you continue reading into chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Isaiah, God reveals to Isaiah that he's about to use Assyria, the wicked nation of Assyria, to discipline Israel because of their disobedience and their sin. The whole narrative that you read in Isaiah is that God controls the course of history to effect his sovereign will. The prophecy about what's going to happen with Assyria has already come true in the history of Israel. God keeps his word. He does what he says he's going to do. And then in chapter 9, we read Isaiah speaking again to the people, people walking in darkness who had seen a great light. There's lots of ways to look at that verse in the history of Israel, but you know, that verse is fulfilled also in Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, it talks in those words about Jesus as he begins his earthly ministry. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the one bringing hope to a dark world that's lost in darkness. Our second main point today is look at the prophecy from Isaiah in chapter 9 about the sun. Now remember, these verses were written 700 or so years before Jesus was born. And this is what Isaiah says: "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Let's unpack those verses just a little bit. "For unto us a child is born." The context of Isaiah, the direct quotes from the New Testament, give us assurance that Isaiah is talking about Jesus. You don't have to take my word for it. You can actually go there and read it yourself. Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2, and then back into Isaiah 7 and 9, and you see that it all links up. 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah was talking about the Son who would come. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. This isn't an ordinary birth. This is a supernatural birth. The Message, a paraphrase of the Bible, says it this way: "The Word," that's a name used for Jesus, "the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood," moved into our neighborhood. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Jesus is the Son of God. I want you to let that sink in. I'm not knocking nostalgia around Christmas. We love Christmas a lot in our house, right? I'm not knocking that. But don't miss the essential point about Christmas. Stop. Look. The baby in the manger is God draped in humanity. Next, it says the government will be upon his shoulders. The Bible very clearly looks forward to a time where Christ will reign in a physical kingdom. We're not talking about the Assyrians of the old time during Isaiah's time. We're not talking about the Roman Empire during Jesus' time. Man-made governments come and they go across time. What we're talking about here is an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that will not end. We're not talking about a kingdom made of man-made power, but one where justice and righteousness prevails. It's a physical kingdom. It's a promise that will be fulfilled that was given to David back in the Old Testament. Isaiah is pointing to the Son, but he's also pointing to what will be accomplished during eternity. It's common for prophecies to talk about several things all at once. The birth of Jesus is the tipping point of all history. Jesus is the central theme of the entire Bible. Look at some of the names that are given to Jesus. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. This child, this son, is called the Wonderful Counselor. Now, I understand in the language that this title reflects something supernatural. Jesus is a supernatural baby, right? It's interesting that the Holy Spirit is given the same name, our advocate, our counselor. This is the name given to the Son. The Son is also called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus is Almighty God in the flesh. His existence didn't begin when he was born in Bethlehem. Jesus existed before time. The Creator entering his creation. The Son is called the Prince of Peace. We all could use a little more peace in our lives, right? The one who brings peace with God. Jesus taught that this kind of peace isn't the kind of peace that this world offers. This is a different kind of peace. This is peace with God. This isn't temporary. Peace comes when we experience genuine salvation. This is different than the peace of the Christmas season. This is peace with God. This is friendship with God. The supernatural birth of Jesus reflects the power of God to do as he wills. It reflects the faithfulness of God to bring salvation to those who believe. The Creator of light brings spiritual light to those who are lost in sin and darkness. That's the story of Christmas. Consider what the Holy Spirit led the writer of Hebrews to say in chapter 1. In the past, he says, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God still speaks to us through creation without words. God still speaks to us through the recorded message of the prophets in the Bible, prophets like Isaiah. And God still speaks through his Son in perfect clarity. We can observe Jesus as we read the gospel accounts of his life. The Son of God, God in the flesh, the baby in the manger, is exposed in the Gospels. Listen to this interaction between Philip and Jesus from John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking at the beginning, and he says this to Philip, "If you really know me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after you've been with me for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I would guess that there are lots of people in this room and maybe online also who are seeking God this Christmas season. And one of the things we do at Lighthouse is to try to help people in that journey to discover the real Jesus from the Scriptures. I never get tired of the Gospels as I read those over and again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, clear accounts of the life of Jesus right in front of us to see. God is faithful to us. He's communicated the things we need to know about God. As you consider what Jesus is like, you're actually discovering God himself. God spoke through creation, he spoke through the prophets, and in these last days, he's still speaking through his Son in the Gospels. The details are exposed in the life and the miracles and the words of Jesus himself. It's interesting to me that the religious leaders of the day, they rejected Jesus because he claimed the authority to forgive sin. He said that he could forgive sin. They were right when they said only God can forgive sin. But they were wrong because they missed the true identity of Jesus. Now, we've talked about the star. We've talked about the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the Son. Now, let's talk a little bit about the sovereignty of God and his plan for the ages. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, a verse we read a moment ago, it says this, to repeat, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forevermore. When we say that God is sovereign, what we mean by that is that he has the capacity to do anything that he wills. When God says the Son will reign on the throne of King David for eternity, you can count on that happening. When God says that there will be righteousness and justice, you can count on that happening. When you read that sin will be eradicated and put away, will no longer live in a world that's full of sin, you can count on that. Jesus will reign in the new heaven and new earth with those who belong to him. I saw a funny Babylon Bee this week online. Now, Babylon Bee is Christian satire, right? So it's talking about the opposite of what's true. A man is there, and he's staring at a Christmas tree. And this is the caption underneath. An atheist looks forward to the warmth and cheer of arbitrary cultural traditions with no transcendent meaning. Christmas is not an arbitrary cultural tradition, but it's the center point of the eternal plan of God. You can begin in Genesis. You can read all the way to Revelation, and you can trust everything it says because God is faithful and he accomplishes his word. Sovereign God had salvation in mind before he created the world. The scripture shows us that salvation comes by genuine faith in the real Jesus, the Jesus who is revealed to us in the scriptures, that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he lived a sinful life, that he died as a sacrifice for sin, for my sin, for your sin, that he rose from the dead in victory over sin and death, and that he will come again and he will settle the final score as sin is eradicated in a new heaven and a new earth. I want you to think about this. The prophecies concerning Isaiah, that Isaiah spoke concerning Israel, have already come true in history. The prophecies that Isaiah spoke concerning Jesus have already come true in history. Not all of them, but some of them. We can trust his words about the future that's prophesied about. Christmas teaches us that God has the power to do all that he wills. He can be trusted because he's faithful to accomplish what he says. When we say God is faithful, what we mean is this: God is trustworthy, and God keeps his word. What he said will come true. You might be asking, well, how do I respond to what I've heard? There's a lot of information that I've put out here today. And there's a couple things on the blue card. It's kind of the center. One of those responses, and I would encourage you to do this, to check that box and to do that together this week. I'm going to find a place very, very far from electric lights. This place is pretty close to Findlay that are far from electric lights. And I'm going to look up in the stars. And I'm going to consider the coming of Jesus into this world that first Christmas morning. The second thing I would encourage you to do is check the box for an email considering the verses that I've read today to meditate on those passages that talk about the eternal plan of God. Finally today, I want to finish with just two verses this Christmas season. I'd like to read these to you. First is Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. It says this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And then Psalm 145, verses 18 through 19 says this: the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry, and he saves them. It is my prayer for you this Christmas season that you seek Christ. God has spoken through the prophets. God has spoken through his creation. And God has spoken to us through the Son. When you turn to Jesus, you find forgiveness. You find the peace that only he can offer. And you find genuine belief in Jesus brings salvation to those who seek. This is the message of Christmas, that Jesus came for you.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.